Space News 78. Hello, thank you for being here with me once more. I hope you are very well today. This is Marie, with another edition of Space News. Welcome to my channel. I take my information very seriously, and for whoever has eyes to see. I am writing this on the morning of May 4th, 2025. It may be advisable that you watch Space News episodes 76 and 77 before this one, to understand what I am talking about better. In the first piece of news for today, as I was telling you in my last video, Ambassador as Ed Nidia gave the local Galactic Federation an ultimatum, demanding they order the Atorthan 5 ship fleet to move away from Earth's high orbit before the end of this week, as several star races present here see their presence as prelude to war. The local Galactic Federation received as Ed Nidia's ultimatum, but did not comment anything about it. However, last evening, standard UTC time, the Atorthan detachment present in the local Galactic Federation headquarters in the Andromedan biosphere ship, Viera, stated that they were here for diplomatic reasons exactly as the Federation stated, and that they had as much right to have a fleet here, orbiting Earth, as anyone else. The Atorthan detachment stated that they are Galactic Federation members as well, and that there is no reason for there to be tensions of any kind among its members, as they are here peacefully, and we should all be friends. On the other hand, King Rua of the Irma Confederation openly replied to the Atorthans, saying that their statement looked nearly exactly the same as the one they gave the Irma only 48 hours before invading a feline outpost that was orbiting the star Rigel in the Orion constellation. Incident that started one of the bloodiest episodes of the Orion Wars. King Rua continued to state that the Atorthans used trickery and false statements to get away with their unethical plans, and that last night's Atorthan detachment statement was just another strategy to use empathy to manipulate other star races into letting them be here orbiting Earth, while they manage and finish their business with the secret society representatives who control Earth. Even though the Atorthans from Orion deny it, the Irma have found evidence that they have been attending high-level meetings with dubious and shady characters on Earth, in Antarctica, in person, this surely to avoid any interception of any transmissions, including remote presence. Their secretive attitude can only indicate that they are doing illegal things to Earth behind the backs of the rest of the Galactic Federation members present here in Earth's orbit. King Rua stated that if the Atorthans were here for diplomatic reasons only, and as their presence in Antarctic meetings had been detected, they should invite the Irma and anyone else who wished to participate in them, and not act secretly. Up to now that I write these words, the Atorthan detachment has not replied to King Rua's statement and demand. As the demands of the Antarian ultimatum have not been met either, Ambassador as Ed Nidia declared that they had no choice but to summon their 7th battle fleet here. As she stated, they are now preparing to sail and will arrive in Earth's high orbit by Tuesday morning, UTC. I personally don't like ultimatums, because they escalate tensions very fast, and cannot be retracted without looking weak. But I stand with the Antarians. At this time, and at the beginning of May 2025, tensions in Earth orbit are the highest in a long time. While all this is happening, a few days ago, the Galactic Federation ordered us, the Taygetan fleet, to double our orbital altitude, supposedly because we may interfere with human space exploration where we are now, as our orbit is low. Yet we have been using this orbital altitude slot for over a decade, and we know that doubling our altitude would place us inside the lower Van Allen belts, and that would strongly interfere with our sensor equipment, particularly with the ones monitoring Earth's surface, and with standard human technology telecommunications which we also monitor. As this looks more like yet another strategy to blind us from seeing what is happening on Earth, so, we have not obeyed their order, and we have no intention to. In other news, yet it is all connected, I want to comment on some details around the recently rescued girls and that event. All the rescued girls, except the Tejetan ones, were taken to the Andromedan Viera biosphere ship for healing and to be sorted out, but as most of them are fully human, they were not taken into the regular parts of the Andromedan ship, as they were taken to a special facility inside the biosphere, that is among nature, that is a series of buildings that are made to look as if they were still on Earth. This lessens the impact on them and also permits their rescuers to return them to their places of origin, with the girls never having known that they were on a starship. Many starships are equipped with human-looking places inside in case a human may come on board and he or she must not know where they are before being returned to Earth. This includes all the Tejetan large ships, and these places are also used for training purposes. Although this is a good idea, the installations are not perfect, because although most of the girls were too frightened to notice fine details, some of them were smart enough to detect that something was off with the place where they were in. As I was informed, many of them noticed that the sky inside the Viera was false, as they could notice the honeycomb structure above doing its best to emulate a half-clouded sky. One of them was even smart enough to notice that the wall power outlets were multiple as they include the configurations used in several different parts of the planet, and no one place would include all of them clumped together in the same wall. There was no need to hide where the off-planet, non-Earth human Lyrian girls were, obviously, yet this applies only to the ones who are members of interstellar races, in this case, the Antarian girls as the Tejetan ones were not taken to the Viera. The problem is with the remaining girls who belong to non-interstellar pre-industrial cultures, because the human-looking installations are built to look like contemporary buildings on Earth, and not those of several centuries ago, which would also logically differ a lot from the architecture those girls are familiar with. This means that those girls who are members of pre-industrial societies were exposed to a place with a technological level far above their own. For example, the simple lighting system and the use of electricity there are enough to change their perception of reality forever. Moreover, their cultures are not only behind in technological affairs, as they are also in ethical and spiritual developments as well. This means that if returned to their home planets and cultures, their life expectancy may not be very good, therefore, they are much better off if they are incorporated into a foster interstellar culture that may be willing to adopt them as their citizens. They are young, some of them very young, under the age of 10, and they can adapt fast to a drastic positive change in environment. Even though most of those girls asked to be returned to their places of origin, I have been pushing for the truth to be given to all of them, without any more theatricals of not being on a starship. So far, more than half of them have chosen to remain in space, with a new foster interstellar society, and they have done so willingly, but with tears in their eyes as they know that they will never see their loved ones again. As for the ones that still insist on being taken back to their home planets, the wishes of some of them will be complied with immediately, also because we know that their cultures are positive and nurturing. The problem is with the remaining girls who also insist on being returned to their homes, yet we know that their cultures are very underdeveloped in every way, and a very hard life would await them there. All those remaining girls in this situation are very young, some are only 5 years old, and they are not yet capable of knowing consequences in general, and what is best for them, they simply want to see their mother again. This situation has caused an ethical problem and debate here, which is still ongoing. I will keep you informed, and I am looking forward to hearing some of your thoughts on this. As for the fully human girls, all of the ones who requested so were returned to their families last night in an extensive Tejetan-led reverse abduction mission. Each girl was placed at the entrance of her house, and my special forces operators, mostly Hashmalims, stood there in the shadows until they could see that the girls were okay and reunited with their families. My operatives witnessed many highly emotional scenes before returning to their awaiting drop ships very fast, as sometimes the cops were called to witness what had happened. We cannot know what those girls said after all this, but take into account that most never knew that they were on a starship, as it should be. These are the moments where we can see and feel that all our efforts, and those of our fallen ones, have been very worthwhile. All this is part of our mission, and part of the reason why we are here, because many of our worst problems, and those of other cultures as well, start on Earth. And as our Antarian friends say, we cannot live with ourselves knowing that others need our assistance, knowing that we can help. We cannot be truly free if we know our kin is not. We are hard at work. It is always a pleasure to write for you, my friends. This will be all for today. As always, thank you for watching my video, and for liking, sharing, and subscribing for more. It helps this channel grow a lot. And I hope to see you here next time. With much love and appreciation, your friend. Marie.